You're welcome back. Joining me now, Tony Foley, lecturer in finance at the Dublin City University. Good afternoon, Tony.
Afternoon, Brian.
Tony, this week the banks were back in the news again. We saw Danske Bank. What's actually happening in the banking system in terms of downsizing?
Well, it's regrettable in terms of obviously it creates job losses for people, it gives less variety, closes branches, but it's not at all surprising. In fact, this is an inevitable consequence of what effectively the government and the Troika's restructuring plan for the banks were, which was effectively to downsize it. Because the argument was that the banks got far too big for a normal functioning economy of the size of Ireland. So they had to get smaller, and that smaller was going to be achieved by reducing the amount of loans relative to deposits. Was going to be achieved by basically decoupling from some of their international operations. So downsizing is an inevitable consequence, regrettable though it is. And it's not just an Irish phenomenon, it's a European phenomenon. Say, for example, in the past 4 years, it's estimated that about 20,000 bank branches closed throughout Europe, about 5,000 just in the last year. So it's a European-wide phenomenon in response to a number of forces. Our main force is the economic collapse. But in addition to that, there's the normal, as it were, sectoral development that we're going away from checks and cash and moving towards electronic banking and less need for banks in terms of the normal physical branch, as it were.
If we look at what's happened with Danske Bank, with ACC and some of the events that are happening at Ulster Bank, what does it all mean for the consumer in terms of the kind of deals, in terms of the kind of charges and the service they're going to face?
Yeah, it's certainly going to reduce the variety and the options, because say for example, we're looking at various significant numbers that Danske Bank, while small, had 100,000 personal customers, 10,000 business customers. ACC wasn't as big, but again a significant player for the people that it dealt with.
But is there a danger we're looking at less competition?
Oh, there's a certain we're looking at less competition, and that's again an inevitable consequence, because if we think the government strategy was two pillar banks, it didn't, as it were, say we want to try and encourage another 25 competing banks with them. So the big issue is the two pillar banks and anything else
that
might come along. That's AIB and Bank of Ireland. And of course we've already closed Irish Nationwide, EBS has been taken over by AIB. And in the past as well, we've gotten rid of banks. Remember, AIB and Bank of Ireland themselves are a result of mergers of lots of smaller banks many years ago. We had Postbank trying to operate in the market a few years ago and couldn't survive and closed. So we are going to have less competition. But I don't think the
Does that mean worse deals from the point of view of the customers?
I don't think it's going to mean hugely worse deals, because I don't think if, say, Danske Bank or ACC were still there, that they could somehow, in a sense, discipline the two big banks to behave accordingly. But we're certainly heading towards worse deals for customers, but that's partly again a reflection of the bank's desire to get a better margin on their business, to reduce their costs, to improve their revenues and generally get back to profitability to a greater extent. So that's inevitable.
The whole point of trying to return the banks back to profitability is to see, can the state at any point get back some of what it had to put into the banks in terms of the recapitalisation of the banks?
Yeah, I'd say definitely the state will get back lots of the money. It's not going to get back nearly, obviously, the 60 billion plus. It's not going to get anything, well, not very much from the
30-odd billion, roughly half of that is the Anglo promissory note. But there's still about 30 billion in play in relation to the Tiller banks.
And I suppose the best deal we'll end up with in about 5 years' time, the economy will be functioning properly. Those two banks will be profitable. They'll be worth a lot more in market money, as it were. Now, whether that's 8 billion or 18 billion, we have to wait and see what the economic performance is. But it will certainly be worth a lot more money than they are at the present time, especially if we give it the fact that it's only got the two banks there and they can make better returns, as it were, because of the lack of competition.
As I understand this, the situation of the two pillar banks is intimately tied into our attempts to renegotiate retrospective recapitalisation of those banks. In other words, the government essentially trying to get money back from the ESM for the money that we had to borrow to rescue those two banks.
Yeah,
is there a notion of essentially trading off some of the government's holding in those banks to the ESM or some other fund?
I would think the only possibility, remote as it is, that we would get money from Europe for retrospective capitalisation would be they'd give us 5 to 10 billion and take ownership of the shares that the government has, the little bit of Bank of Ireland and virtually all of AIB. The question that would arise then, even if that was an option, was is it value for money, or would we be better off holding on to it ourselves and then realising better market returns in the future? But there's no way we're just going to get money in terms of you've paid this money, here's, as it were, a subsidy towards it. That's not going to happen. Yeah.
And Michael Noonan still insists, and the government, that they believe they're still in the game in respect of bank recapitalisation, even though we've seen Wolfgang Schäuble, the German finance minister, effectively downplay the prospects, but not rule them out entirely.
That's right. Well, factually, it's still in play, simply because it hasn't been irrevocably refused. But I just can't see it happening, because the basic approach of the EMS is to lend money. It's not to give presents. So therefore, it would only give money to the banks in return for equity. And then it becomes, even if they will do that, as I say, is the price right? Or are we better off waiting and selling it on the market in a few years hence and getting a much better return? So we're not going to get nothing for nothing, as it were. So the only way we'd get money would be in return for the equity, and it might not be a good deal to get that.
If you were sitting in the Department of Finance advising Michael Noonan, would you be saying to him, maybe hang on to the shares we have in AIB and the shares in Bank of Ireland and let's see what happens?
Absolutely, definitely. Unless Europe came up with an offer that you couldn't refuse, which they're not going to do, I would.
And presumably an offer you couldn't
shares.
Refuse. We're hardly going to get euro for euro. We're hardly going to get 30 billion
no,
from them.
No, we're not going to get 30 billion. And as I say, what are the banks worth at present? You know, maybe 5 billion or so. So would they give us 10 billion? But then maybe in 5 years' time, they'll be worth 15 billion. So it becomes a question of the price. But I can't see them offering a price that I would accept.
And presumably all this also impacts upon our debt sustainability profile.
Yeah, well, it's in terms of the debt sustainability, the best we'd get would be, say, 10 billion, as it were, from the European sources. And in a sense, that would be nice. But crazy as it sounds, it wouldn't be a game changer in terms of debt sustainability. If we had a 10 billion to write off our national debt, well, then it would be 190 billion instead of 200 billion. It would still be enormous.
I think the banks will be with us for a long time to come. Tony Foley, thank you very much.